Before we begin the teaching this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning for your love for us and your love for your people, for your children. And Father God, we ask that you would bless the remainder of the service, Lord. You would bless your word, Father God, that the words I speak this morning would be a forthtelling of your word, and that they would fall upon ears that would hear and hearts that will listen, and that your Holy Spirit would move us forward more towards being Christ-like. And Father God, we ask that these things would bring glory to you. And Lord, just empty me of myself and anything that gets in the way of your word this morning. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, today we're going to be looking at a continuation in our study in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 8. I'm going to read through this now. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he left, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead at that, there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number and as innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are speaking that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country which they left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So here's our overall outline for the day up there, if anybody wants to take photos of that. And to start this morning, I just wanted to talk a little bit about myself and what I understood growing up as a kid. There was at one time TV ads that started back in the 70s for MasterCard. And these TV ads for MasterCard said, membership has its privileges. Membership has its privileges. But with membership, you also have responsibilities. I'm a member of a club, and I have privileges that enable me to use these club facilities, and I can join in various club activities as part of that club. In order to become a member of that club, I had to go through a lot of hoops. I had to send a letter, along with a self-stamped envelope to get an application. Then once I got the application, I had to fill the application out, mail it back in with a deposit, and then wait 2 years for my name to float down through the list to then get an interview. And then once I passed the interview, then I would show up to a membership meeting and be voted in as a member of this club. Members of this club are allowed to bring non-members with them to participate in these club activities and these club facilities. And some people, when they get a taste of the club membership, of what it would be like if they were a member, they like that idea and they want to become members of that club as well. But when they see the hoops they have to go through, the 2-year waiting list, the using old school U.S. Postal Service to get their membership application into, they see that and they say, no, it's not for me. They get a taste of what it's like to be a member, but they don't follow through. And that's what Paul is worried about here in the book of Hebrews. For you see, in the book of Hebrews, Paul is talking to his fellow Jews, his fellow Hebrews who come out of the Hellenistic Jewish culture that have come to Christ. And he's warning them. You need to be real members. You need to really be Christians. Because with membership also comes responsibilities. For see, in order for me to be a member of this club, not only do I have to pay my dues every year to be a member of that club, I also have to put in work party hours, and I also have to obey all the rules that are part of being a member of that club. And those are my responsibilities. In terms of Christianity, Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sin, right? If we repent and believe, we are now part of the family of God. We are now born-again believers. But we have responsibilities as a believer. As part of the family of God, we have responsibilities that we have to take seriously. I think that's what Paul is kind of getting at with this whole process in the book of Hebrews, and he's bringing it down, as Pastor Gray said last week, he's boiling it down to faith. And in this chapter, he brings the crescendo of his symphony that he's laid out for us, and here we are talking about faith. And here we are in the middle of the faith chapter, chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. This passage, the writer continues his presentation on faith, and he's looking back. And he's saying the answer is not looking back to Judaism. The answer is looking forward to Christ. For hope, for faith hopes for a better country. In looking for that better country, faith has some responsibilities. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he left, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham obeyed God and did what God called him to do. He left the city of Ur and ended up in the city of Haran. And then from Haran, he left to wander in Cana. In Genesis 12, 1 through 5, it says this, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make unto you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abraham went away as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the people which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Cana. So they came to the land of Cana. And there's a parallel passage to this in Stephen, when he's giving his sermon, when he's about ready to be stoned, he gives this sermon, and he says this in part of his sermon. Stephen says this in Acts 7, 2 through 5. And Stephen said, "Listen to me, brothers and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, go from your country and your relatives and come to the land which I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And from there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in this, not even a foot of ground. And yet he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and his descendants after him, even though he had no child. Abraham had a slow start. Abraham's faith was not perfect. He was called to go to Canaan and to look for a place that God was to lead him to. But first, he settled in Haran. And he settled in Haran for a long time. Our faith is not perfect, but does call us to obey God's teachings. You notice that faith in this context preceded Abraham's obedience. He had faith, and that faith produced action. A real faith produces obedience, but that faith precedes the action. James 2:18. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Our faith calls us to obedience. It gives us hope for a better country in heaven, and it sets us apart from the world as we are looking for God's foundation to stand on. Hebrews 11:9-10. Faith sets us apart from the world, looking for God's foundations. By faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise and in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Faith sets us apart from the world, looking for God's foundations. In these two verses, we see that the writer is showing us the contrast between tents and a city. Abraham was living in tents as a sojourner, a pilgrim looking for a city. Question, does that sound familiar for those in our Wednesday Bible study? A foreigner looking for his homeland. Please note this, that where was Abraham wandering around? He was wandering around the land of Cana, the land that was his promised land. He was still looking. And what was he looking for? He was looking for the city of God. The only land that Abraham ever owned was the cave of Machpelah. There, I got it, I think. Machpelah. Got to do the Machpelah. Anyway, he bought it from Ephron in Hebron. He was kind of cajoled into buying it. We had this long discussion in Genesis 23. He's trying to bury Sarah, who had just passed away. And after he had just finished mourning her loss, he was trying to find a place to put her bones to rest. And he had this discussion with Ephron, and Ephron finally basically conned him into buying the cave. Long story in Genesis chapter 23. You can read it yourself. It's kind of fun. If you like reading about real estate transactions. And I'm sure Bob would probably find that a fascinating passage. So in this search for the city of God, it set him apart from the other people living in the Fertile Crescent region in that Middle East area. For he wandered around Canaan. His faith grew and became stronger as he matured in his faith. And next week, Gary will unpack that more about Abraham's depth of faith. But I just want to point out that his faith grew as he matured in his relationship with God. Faith gives us hope for a better country as it grows in God's promises. Hebrews 11:11, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. faith grows in God's promises. The story the writer of Hebrews is referencing is found in Genesis 18, 9 through 15, and Genesis 21, 1 through 7. Yahweh had appeared to Abraham with his servants. And in this passage in Genesis 18, it reads like this, and this is the servants speaking to begin with. Then they said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." And he, Yahweh, said, "I will certainly return to you this time next year, and behold, your wife Sarah will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, am I to have pleasure, my Lord being so old also?" But Yahweh said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I actually give birth to a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord?' At that point in time, at the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." We come to the ending of the story. It's in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. It says this, "And then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord said to Sarah, as he had promised, so Sarah conceived and born a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time at which God had spoken to him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the son whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, 'God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me.' And she said, 'Who will have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have given birth to a son in his old age.'" By the way, the name Isaac means laughter. Just side note. Sarah trusted in the power of Yahweh's promise eventually. But she did trust in it. It was eventually, but she did trust in it. Abraham trusted at first, she giggled in unbelief and lied to God about it because she was embarrassed. Her reaction was unbelief. When Isaac was born, her faith matured, and Abraham received a promise from God that was fulfilled. Hebrews 11, 12, verse 12. "Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead at that, there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number and as innumerable as grains of sand along the seashore." Here we see the writer Hebrews telling us and reminding the Hebrew readers where they came from. Looking back at the Genesis story and God's promise, we see that Genesis 22:17, it's a quote, "Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars in the heavens and as the sands which are in the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies." Abraham had received the promise from God, and it was fulfilled here in 22:17. The author of Hebrews tells us that Abraham was as good as dead. Now that phrase is a Hebraism, and it means that you're really old, that you should have already passed away. It's kind of mean sounding, but that's what it means. And so what does that mean? What is this whole thing implying? It's not coming right out and saying it, but what it's implying is this: God did a miracle. A miracle. It is by this miracle that the Hebrews existed. The Hebrews that the author of Hebrews is writing to exist because of this miracle. The author is reminding them of their blessed supernatural origin as a people, and that it was God who was faithful in keeping his promise to Sarah. Faith grows in God's promises as it hopes for a better country. Our faith helps us to trust in a better future. Our faith helps us to trust in a better future. Hebrews 11:13 says this, "All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own." Faith trusts a better future. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all died, and they were buried in the cave of Machpelah. When Jacob died in Egypt, he insisted that Joseph carry his bones back to be buried in that cave. Genesis 47:30, "But when I lie down with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in the burial place." And he said, "I will do as you've said." Now, to get a little controversial. One Jewish rabbi, Rabiv, in the Talmud, in Sotah 34b. Now, let me stop right here for a second. The Talmud is a collection of rabbinic sayings, rabbinic rulings for people who are Jewish and part of the Jewish religion. And it has no real bearing on Christianity other than it gives us an idea of how they thought, right? And it goes back, some say it goes back as early as 400 years before Christ. It just depends on who you talk to. Some say it's later. Some people say it's as late as 600 or 800 AD. We don't really know. Most Jewish apologists would say, no, it's probably about 200 years before Christ, about the time this Second Temple started to be reestablished after the Maccabean Revolt. So a lot of people claim. Anyway, in this Talmud passage, this one rabbi says this. He speculates that Moses, when he was coming to the land, if you remember the story, Moses came to the river and he wanted to send spies out to spy the land. He's going to send the 12 spies out to spy the land, to see if it's any good, to see what kind of people are there. And when he sent the 12 spies out, Moses had it in the back of his mind, this is what this rabbi was speculating, had it in the back of his mind that he'd hoped that the spies would see the cave of Machpelah, that they would see that this is truly their homeland already, that it's not a foreign nation that they're trying to invade, that it's actually their land, that Abraham had already established a foothold here, if you will, with that grave site. And in Numbers 13:22, it says this about the spies. It says, "When they had gone up to the Negev, one," and that's what it says in the Hebrew, "one came to Hebron," or Amini, Shamini, Talami, and the descendants of Anak were. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. The idea here is that one of the rabbis looked at that and saw that then that verse, Numbers 13:22, most of our translations say they. When they gone up to the Negev, they came to Hebron. The actual word in the Hebrew, and I looked it up, it's true. It's actually one there. It's not they. One came in Hebron. One of these rabbis, Rabbi Ravia, speculated that Caleb split off from the rest of the 12, and he went to the sepulcher and saw it. And that's why, one of the reasons why, when he came back and gave a positive report about the land filled with milk and honey, is because he knew that this was his homeland. Now, this is all just a legend, okay? So this is not necessarily true at all, but this is the legend that they speculated. Follow here with me. When Joshua divided up the land, guess which part of the land Caleb got? Caleb, Joshua 14, 13, Caleb got Hebron as his inheritance. The author of Hebrews knew about this legend, right? And so the author of Hebrews knew that some of his audience would have knowledge of this legend, may have it in their minds. And so what the author of Hebrews does is he tells them, look, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were looking for a better future, a better country than Canaan. Because Canaan was the land that they were already wandering in. The homeland they were seeking is not based upon dead men's graves. The homeland they're seeking is a better future in heaven with Jesus. It is the same one we are looking for. For Christians, our citizenship is, we read it earlier, in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith trusts in the future, and faith leaves behind the old country that is this world. Hebrews 11, 15. And indeed, as they were thinking of that country which they had, for if they had been thinking of that country which they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had no desire to return to the old country, the land they were foreigners in. They didn't set their thinking on the old country. They looked forward to a better country. The author of Hebrews has once again reminded his readers that returning to the Hellenistic Judaism that they came from in order to come to Christ is that old country. It's returning to that old country. That faith, our faith, leaves behind the old country of this world and looks forward to a better country, heaven. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. I said it last time I preached. I'll say it again. This is one of my favorite passages. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Our faith places us in a new family. We are now in the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are part of the family of God. Our faith desires a better country. Hebrews 11, 16. Faith desires a better country. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is not our home. We are not of this world. Our attitudes and actions need to reflect our faith in the kingdom to come and that we are now a part of. Faith hopes for a better country. And this leads me to what Jesus had to say about all this. If you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 29 through 32. And do not seek what you are to eat, and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things are what the nations of the world eagerly seek, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. So what do we learn from this teaching? There's three application points I'd like to point out here. First, as citizens of heaven, we are to act like it. Duh. Second one, as citizens of heaven, we are to vote like it. Oh, now, hey, Pastor, that's not, wait, now, hold on. Back up a second. We need to talk about that one. No. As citizens of heaven, we're to vote like it. And a third one, don't run around for the rapture twiddling your thumbs. We are witnesses. Not that we're to be witnesses. We are witnesses. The Bible tells us that you shall be my witnesses. It's not optional. You are witnesses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne and glorify you. Lord, we ask that we would be good citizens of heaven. We ask that we would learn to follow you and to trust in you, that our faith trusts in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.